Yeah, that's right. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation going all the way to 7 o'clock tonight. Rangers will go all the way for the sweep, looking for a six in a row as well. They'll be back-to-back sweeps as they visit Ron Washington and the Angels. We do have quite a bit of developing baseball news throughout the day. We'll take a look at that coming up in the Expressway at 5:20. It's time now for an edition of Football's Finest, and here's Zach Wolchuk.
Well, as part of the top 10 series from ESPN, we've got the execs, coaches, and scouts ranking today the NFL's top 10 edge rushers for 2024. They did the defensive tackles yesterday. No Cowboys on the defensive tackles list. It was indeed Chris Jones, who is number one, moving up from the number two spot a year ago, which was Aaron Donald. And now there's no Aaron Donald anymore. Quinnen Williams of the Jets was two, followed by Dexter Lawrence of the Giants, who you've got to play twice a year at three. Jeffrey Simmons of the Titans at four. And then Justin Matabike, Texas A&M zone, coming in at number five from the Baltimore Ravens. But when it comes to the edge rushers, this would be, where is Micah Parsons? Is he number one? Is he number two? Is he number three? Where do you think he is?
Three.
Three?
Number four.
Who do you think is ahead of him if he was to be three or four?
Watt, Abosa, and Garrett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are great guesses.
Yeah.
And all of those are in the top four. Number one, Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Arlington Martin, Texas A&M. Last year's ranking was number two. This year he moves up to one. In fact, they write, Garrett is excelling single or double teams more than 30% of the time, trailing only Micah Parsons in pass rush win rate. He's the reigning defensive player of the year, earned him credibility among voters. He has 46 sacks over the last three seasons, might have hit 20 sacks in 2022 had he not been in a car accident that left him injured and out of some games in September. Number two, it is J.J. Watt, moved up from four in the rankings last year. One voter called Watt the Aaron Donald of pass rushers, the player who should top every list. He didn't quite match that feat, but he's back where he belongs at number two. His game-wrecking plays were on full display, finished second in Defensive Player of the Year. He's earned four All-Pros, first-teamers over the past five seasons, and 96.5 sacks through his first 7 years, ranks third all-time behind Reggie White and DeMarcus Ware, both Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Number three is Micah Parsons.
Hmm.
He was three last year, so he's consistent. He's staying at three this year. Now, they do talk about Micah having fought through some of the double teams. He's got a 33.5 pass rush win rate, nearly 5 percentage points higher than anybody else. One NFL coordinator said, quote, unreal athleticism for the position. Twitch, speed, and bend is phenomenal. His issues are really more in the run game than anything else. When he has to take on heavy stuff, that's where you feel the lack of size a bit. Another veteran NFL defensive coach said, if you put him at outside linebacker all game in the same traditional spot, I'm not sure he'd have the same production. He needs to be moved around, in my opinion, but he's so good in that role that he completely wrecks a game. He also led all pass rushers in pass rush incompletions created with 38. So even though he's not getting the sacks, he is still getting some money. So TJ Watt comes in at number two, Garrett at one, and Micah at three, followed by Nick Bosa at four, and Max Crosby of the Raiders rounds out your top five.
Yeah, you know, I think Micah, in order to be in serious contention, you got to go over 15 sacks. You got to dominate other parts of the game. You got to be more consistent throughout the season. I think he's piled up stats in a handful of games in pretty much every year and then gone silent. And, you know, he doesn't dominate the other parts of the game in a way that makes that okay. You know, so for me, Micah Parsons pretty overrated right now.
Now, we had big news yesterday at Big 12 Media Days, which is in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. So Ollie Gordon, we had the news last week, Brian, he had that DUI arrest.
He did.
So we were wondering, okay, is he going to end up getting suspended? Like, what punishment is Oklahoma State football going to hand down? Well, Mike Gundy said he's going to play. I'm going to do what we think is best for Oklahoma State football, and I think it's best for Ollie to play. If there's any punishment, it's making him carry the ball 50 times in the first game. Then he went ahead and jumped on set there with ESPN, and he had this to say.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like, in Oklahoma, it's .08, and Ollie was .1. So I looked it up. and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light because you make a lot of money to play football.
And that was his big thing. Like, okay, you're basically now professional athletes in college. So I'm not going to not play you because you got this DUI. But then his explanation there and just basically admitting, yeah, I've drunk driven. You know, I'm a drunk driver. 1,000 times in my life I've done that. That kind of had people
wild tonight,
losing their minds a little bit on Mike Gundy.
He's at point one. I mean, that was when I was growing up, that was the legal limit, right? That was, hey, you're a little bit buzzed, maybe going into inebriated, shouldn't be driving. I kind of see his point. I don't think Mothers Against Drunk Driving has any time for that level of real.
No.
You know, but I appreciate Gundy's approach to, hey, humans are going to human. We're all going to mess up. He falls on the sword a little bit. It is very easy, you know, to have 3 or 4 beers at dinner and drive home, especially if they're pouring you the 16 ouncers. You know, that's really two and a half of those bad boys. You sit down before the servers even come to take your order for dinner. You might be close to already drinking a pint. And there goes two. And now you're on the doorstep to 0.08. So I appreciate what Gundy is saying. I think, you know, the whole drinking and driving thing needs significant reform, you know, but it's so tough because money gets in the way of the restaurant and the alcohol, you know, like how are you going to infringe on those businesses?
Yeah.
If you stop restaurants from serving alcohol out of a DUI concern, which is what you really should do. Like, how are we that obsessed with drinking and driving, but we allow all this pouring to go on at dinner and at happy hours, right? It just, it's two very conflicting ideas that, you know, are unsustainable together. So, you know, I think if we're getting into, like, pointing the fingers at DWIs, you should probably go to the source, which is, you know, the alcohol lobbyists in Congress that allow this really weird industry to continue while we're so obsessed with drinking and driving, but really enabling it at every turn.
I think, I mean, like a lot of people are like, he's not wrong. Like we've probably all been there.
Yeah.
And Coach Gundy had to issue an apology saying my intended point today at Big 12 Media Days was that we are all guilty of making bad decisions. It was not a reference to something specific. But a lot of people were kind of just taking this because we just had a former college athlete that just got drafted in Kyrie Jackson, who was hit by a drunk driver. Like maybe kind of not the time and the place to really, but then again, I mean, like it's Big 12 Media Days. He's going to be asked about this, right? Like you're running your star running back who might be the number one drafted running back next year. He's your best player. You're going to have to talk about this. So the timing is not great.
It's still somewhat reasonable to me though. I totally see Gundy's point. You're at point one. You know that you can drive a vehicle fine. That used to be the threshold for drinking. And like the new threshold is 0.08, which is just 20% less alcohol in your body. And he's being real about it.
He is.
Instead of, you know, doing what almost every adult does is, oh my goodness, I can't believe that person's drinking and driving. And then you have 3 glasses of wine and drive home. You know, like the line there is very, very, very thin. And I think there's a massive difference between what he did and somebody going out, getting blackout drunk and driving home every weekend.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the problem. The person that gets blackout drunk and wants to race at 120 miles an hour up central. You know, that's the problem. The problem isn't borderline guys going, oh, my goodness, I think I probably had too much to drink here at dinner. I'm going to go home, though. You know, that's not really, you know, the main issue. So we can't conflate those two.
Yeah. I mean, did you have something to add to that?
No, I think coaches live in a bubble. And I mean this in a way, I think coaches say things in meetings and coaches really don't understand reality in a lot of ways. I think Mike Gundy doesn't understand reality. I think he's lived in a bubble. I think he's kind of in his own world. I think you made some excellent points about, you know, numbers and things that need to be thought about going forward. But coaches don't deal in reality. And to be honest with you, been with a bunch of them, you know, if they outside of their world, they don't know what the right way to do things.
Well, there's a right way to do it. There's an honest, real way to do it. I think he did that.
He wasn't hypocritical.
The right way being, dishonest.
I appreciate him protecting his player that way and talking about it that way. But a lot of coaches aren't very tone deaf about things in real life.
And there were definitely people that felt that that was a tone deaf response.
So this is something we all do, but don't say out loud. Is that what you mean?
I agree with you, you can't say
that out loud.
I agree with what you're saying.
I like the honesty.
I understand. And again, I'm just saying, to me, if a coach is trying to explain to me something of real life,
yeah,
I don't listen. I don't, because coaches are in their world. They're in that world of, they don't know anything other than what's going on in their world, and they run it. Joe Paterno, what was going on in Penn State? He'd been there all those years. Think about things that happen, and they don't have the that's really happening. That's really what, to me, that's where I look at coaches. And anytime they try and tell me about real life situations.
Yeah, usually with Gundy, I'm tuning way out.
I usually say, no, wait a minute.
Blind squirrel found a nut there.
You're in your little Stillwater bubble.
Yeah.
And you there's people, like I said, I'm not, I appreciate people being honest and saying, but when they start giving you advice, that's where I kind of go,
I guess I also appreciate it from the point that there's been a real double standard in sport where the coaches and the executives get protected.
Yes.
While we are just lambasting 20-year-olds
sure.
for very human mistakes.
Yeah, right.
And throwing them out of the sport for very human mistakes, while the coaches are hammered driving home from coaches' meetings every night after the bar.
Absolutely.
Well, Andy Reid's kid.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, you're like, well, man, that's reality right there. And everybody's like, oh, well, I don't, he's a good guy. He's a good coach. No, that's, coaches don't understand. They feel immune to what's going on in reality. So that's my opinion about those guys, because I've been with a bunch of them that don't know what's going on in the outside world. They just say things, and they have their little kingdoms that they run,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really know what's going on outside.
Well, I mean, we also, thoughts and prayers certainly to everybody in Houston that's been affected by Hurricane Beryl. We had roof damage at NRG Stadium. Apparently Minute Maid Park, where the Rangers are going to be playing starting Friday, was minimally damaged in the storm. They've been hosting the Miami Marlins, according to the Houston Chronicle, so still able to play baseball there. But that storm has been absolutely nuts. And, I saw some of the pictures of NRG. It was like ripped two sections of the roof off. So they'll probably have to pay millions of dollars to go ahead and get that replaced.
So we're playing with the roof open now there at that place?
Maybe. Maybe it ends up being. I'm sure they'll get that thing fixed. They got probably like a month to go before they host their first preseason game. So they'll probably be okay there. Peyton Manning, I thought of you. So you're probably the only person that, well, maybe some of our audience will. Peyton Manning was asked, because he is part of Omaha Productions that have produced the Netflix show Wide Receiver that dropped today. You can go and watch that right now. He's on the red carpet, and they asked Peyton, if you could throw a pass to one receiver in NFL history that he's never thrown one to before, who would it be?
I got to play with a number of them in the Pro Bowl. I got to play with Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez, so I guess that eliminates them, playing with Marvin and Reggie and Demarius and Emmanuel in real football. One, Raymond Berry, old Baltimore Colt.
Wow.
Going with Raymond Berry. Got to spend some time with him.
Yeah.
He was a true master of his craft, the way he studied film, the way he studied precision route running. Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry had great timing. I think it'd be Raymond Berry.
Man.
He did. He did a special with, they went out, they walked out on the field, and Raymond Berry was talking about route running. And yeah, he was one of the master of the toe drag swag kind of guy.
Okay.
He's always, he always knew how deep the route needed to be, where he needed to be on the break.
Contort the sideline.
Yeah. And Johnny Unitas did a good job of getting him the ball. And he was a guy that always caught everything in his hands. He extended.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a very good player for his day. Poor coach, but a great player.
Now, Nike founder Phil Knight, he plans to provide Oregon with an unlimited amount of NIL funds. So
ooh,
the Ducks get ready. Now, some people are like, what the hell are you doing? Because Nike's been making a bunch of cuts.
It's his company.
Yeah, so he's making cuts there.
We're investing in the football team.
Yeah, because now I'm going to go ahead and invest in my Oregon Duck. So, I mean, I guess, you know, it's a bummer. Apparently 732 jobs were eliminated at Nike. $2 billion cost-cutting effort is what went down, but we're going to give the Ducks an unlimited budget. And if you're a sports fan, and you're a fan of the Oregon Ducks, thank you very much, Mr. Knight.
Where were they losing money at Nike? Tiger Woods?
Probably with the damn shoe designers, because they haven't dropped anything fresh in a long time. Everything is always reruns from my time.
Is it that poor? I thought maybe they took a big hit with all the Tiger Woods stuff too.
We haven't really seen anybody been rocking that.
No, they buttoned that thing up. Yeah. He's done.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just generally that people have a lot less money to spend on stuff like that, with the grocery bills, the energy costs, the gas money, the inflation.
True. I'm looking at all these kits and these soccer teams, and I see everybody has like a Nike jersey on or something like that. I just kind of felt like that Nike was printing money.
Well, I feel like they came down in popularity, right? Like the numbers actually show that they came down in popularity. They haven't been up for a while, in fact. Wow. All these new sneaker companies are coming and killing them. New Balance got some fly stuff, bro.
New Balance is really up in their game.
The dad shoes, the Hakas.
Yeah.
That's what I wear. Yeah. Got those. No, those are very comfortable. Comfortable shoes.
The influencer economy, as far as social media, these people can make anything cool. So like legacy brands like Nike, Adidas, they're losing their grip on it, and it gives an opportunity for, you know, smaller independent brands to pop up and steal that market share.
One of my favorite TikToks is when those guys walk up and sell their shoes. When they walk up to the Nike or the shoe people, and the guy opens the box and he smells the shoe and he, you know, he does all the stuff, and then they offer thousands of dollars. I just always felt like that Nike was printing money that way.
The Jordan, or you know, retro thing peaked, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Then they went through all their retros, but the thing I'm noticing about the Nike retros now is they don't make them with near the quality that they made them in the original times.
Okay, there you go.
Like I bought a pair of Air Max 90s, and I was like, oh my goodness, I would never think about trying to do anything remotely athletic in this. I would instantly break my ankle. There's very little comfort factor to them. I think the Air Max 95s have actually held their standard the closest, but everything else feels like a, you know, a cheap Walmart shoe remake. That's basically what you're looking at there. Okay, we got to...
Hold on, y'all. Yeah. I got to highlight this. Did y'all hear say, Dawson said, Nike is losing their grip? You ever hear that? I thought that was amazing. All right, go ahead, bro.
You got it, buddy. Yeah, okay, the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is coming up in 21 minutes from right now, and we're back with more here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan Time. Now to hit the expressway, we'll take you commercial-free to the top. LA Live is now just 14 minutes away. Segment's brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line question for you. How crotch first are you with the Rangers right now? 877-881-1053. Five in a row. Maybe not against the best competition, but as we saw early last week, week before that, the turnaround may very well have started against the Baltimore Orioles, who are a very good team. And even though you didn't win that series, you looked dang good against a good baseball team. Now you have Corey Seager dialed in. You have Josh Young coming back. Adolis Garcia with the game-winning solo shot last night. By the way, he has agreed to participate in this year's Home Run Derby at the Globe. So that'll be a lot of fun for the home fans, getting a chance to at least have, you know, a guy there, Garcia, in the Home Run Derby. That dresses it up a little bit here. But the question is there for you guys first here. Wolchuk, Broadus, Lucius, you're watching the games. It's unbelievable that, you know, the spring training they had, the postseason they had. Now we're, you know, smack dab in the midst of, you know, this realization that actually since the first 2 months of last year, this has been a 500 baseball team. The unbelievable postseason run, the, you know, undefeated streak on the road, that was just a brief respite in what has been mediocrity. And dang it, that respite came at the perfect time, the most glorious month and a half, maybe in your sports lifetime is what you experienced there in that run to winning the World Series. But outside of that, it's been 500 baseball, and this year under 500, still four games to go to get back to that break-even point. But hey, now you're on a win streak. Is it, you know, title defense back, or do you need to see more? What's going to, on a scale of 1 to 10, that 4-6-9 says I'm a 7-5.
There we
That's
go.
That's Daniel and Forney toloing and bleeding. And says, what's up, Zach?
Shout out to you, bro.
214 says, we'll know more after Houston. 214, don't know that verbiage, general. Maybe it's been a while since we've used that. I think, you know, maybe just a couple of years, but I mean, that's basically the epitome of confidence, right? Yes. You're leading with your crotch as a man into the sports world. What do you say, Wolchuk?
Yeah, man, I do think the text of we need to wait for Houston to know more is fair. Like, the Angels are a bad baseball team. Now, granted, it hasn't mattered if you're good or you're bad when it comes to this Rangers
team. They've lost
the Rockies.
Yeah.
But they're taking care of business right now, and they're doing what they need to do. I am very optimistic because I think the bats, specifically Adolis Garcia, who we did find out is going to compete in the Home Run Derby as well, is starting to swing a hot stick. Simeon seems like he's kind of worked himself out of the slump. Josh Smith has been absolutely phenomenal. They're getting contributions from guys like Derek Hill now at the bottom of the lineup. You know, Nathaniel Lowe has really been good for the most part over the last 2 weeks as well. So the question's been the offense. Where has that been? That was their calling card. They were the best offense in all of the American League a year ago. The pitching hasn't been an issue, and now you're feeling pretty good.
Better.
About your setup there, 7-8-9 with Leclerc, Robertson, and Yates. They closed down. They closed the door. They won a one-run game. So for me, it's really okay. They have not had any consistency on offense. It seems like the last week to 2 weeks, you're starting to see that trend in the right direction. If that can sustain going through the Houston series, going into the All-Star break, I'm definitely believing, because you're just 5.5 back right now at Seattle.
Yeah, I've talked about this division a bunch. I've had my really low moments, and I've had my really high moments. About a month ago, they went to Seattle and completely fell apart there, you know, and didn't look, and wasn't even really competitive. And you're thinking Seattle is, you know, that's a team you're going to probably have to battle with. And they just looked awful.
Yeah.
And they come back, you know, and they have a series, they sweep Kansas City, and I think Kansas City's playing pretty well.
They are. And then they went 1-6 on the road trip.
And then they go 1-6 on the road. And you're like going, then the Baltimore series gave me some hope that Baltimore's one of the best teams in baseball, and they were very competitive against them. The Padres series, I'm thinking Padres are kind of like you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that every time that I want to get excited about this team, something happens in a negative way. And then they'll kind of draw me back in with some, you know, win a series. And, you know, I was out there when they played the Mets, when they won the game against the Mets in the finale of that one. I'm thinking, okay, man, they're not this bad. So it's tough right now, but they need to find a way. And we say take two or three from the Astros. Go sweep the Astros. Go, you know, get the sweep tonight. And then go sweep the Astros.
You're going with a 9-game winning streak.
That would be 500, wouldn't it?
That'd be a heater. Yeah,
that,
I believe
that
so.
That would be it. And to me, that would mean that now you've got that feeling. Don't go to Houston and after doing some good against the Angels, give three back.
Yeah.
You know, find a way to play. And they're playing good baseball right now. They really are.
We talked all offseason and spring about, hey, they're going to be super hurt. Let's stay 500 till they get the pitchers healthy.
Right.
And if you could, you know, take this incredibly depressing route, but still be at 500, then, you know, I think you'd have to take, you know, the balance of the season over any sort of biases you've had or, you know, the feelings that you've had when they hit their absolute lows.
I want them to be a buyer here, but I don't know if they're going to be a buyer because of that. Not wanting to give up prospects or not wanting to take on salary.
Well, I don't think they need a ton right now, right? I mean, I think that you're looking at a ton of internal help with Josh Young coming back, Tyler Mahle coming back, Evan Carter, hopefully. You know,
go get Pete Alonso?
I mean, you could definitely go get Pete Alonso if you wanted to. Now
That's what I'm saying. If you could get somebody like that,
that's a big salary.
Yeah, but to me, Maybe that's what they need. I mean, remember
we
were in Oxnard during the trade deadline last year. We did a Saturday show.
Yeah.
And didn't even talk about football. It just talked about adding.
They traded Scherzer. You got Montgomery. Exactly. You got Stratton.
Exactly. Didn't you kind of feel like that, okay.
CY figured it out.
They figured it out.
Yeah. Because the Mets picked up all of Scherzer's salary pretty much. If you did that with Alonso. You're paying $12
million of it right now.
But the weaknesses were also so glaring. Like you were desperate for bullpen help, right? Now it's like, man, your bullpen's been pretty good. I could fortify it. I could add a lefty.
Yeah.
If you want a bat, then yeah, I think Alonso might be a guy that's a little too expensive for what they want to give up.
Robert. You know, I saw him hit a home run today. Yeah. But, you know, to me, that...
I mean, I would love Pete Alonso. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a big deal with him in the offseason. This team's already up against the apron of the luxury tax. Maybe it's not sustainable, but you know, you could make it work. Maybe you'd have to give up too many prospects to make that happen. And I think with the way Lowe is playing now, with Carter coming back to play center field with Langford in left, I don't know if you can get a big enough improvement in what you have for what you'd have to give up when it comes to the prospects. Big 12 Media Day. Deion Sanders made it clear what must change for the Buffaloes to compete in the Big 12 this year.
Got to block.
We got to protect the QB. That's number one, said Prime.
Yeah.
Last year, Shador, most sacked QB in the country with 52 of them, led Deion to completely overhaul the offensive line, brought in Phil Loadholt, the former NFL offensive lineman. And after a complete overhaul last offseason, Sanders says it was easier this time around. What makes it easy to connect with offensive linemen is having the best quarterback in college football. Who doesn't want to come and block for the best QB in college football? You've got to be a fool if you say, I don't want to be seen. Do you think they can compete this year in the Big 12? Brian, are they going to take a big step forward, Colorado?
I felt like I watched every one of Colorado's games last year.
First month of the season,
I did. And then I watched them go play at Oregon, and they got blasted.
Yeah.
Couldn't protect. I watched them play against a Washington State team that was...
I think it was Colorado State that opened my eyes. Well, like, they had one pass rusher.
Yeah, they Kamara,
they
right?
They had Mo Kamara, yeah.
Kamara, I mean, he gave them...
Demolished him.
He's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he is a solid player. I don't know, like I said, they went through coordinator change. I just don't see a lot of stability in their program. You know, I see coaches kind of come in, coaches leave... They do the transfer portal. Do they really recruit? Do they really do it? I don't know how long Deion is for this. You know, I really don't. I mean, he could get this thing to get his sons out drafted and all that. And like, okay. I mean, somebody else take
Shador,
this.
After this year, I mean, Shador, Shiloh, and Travis Hunter, they'll probably all be going to the draft.
Yeah.
TCU turned it around with transfer portal, you know.
But, yeah.
Hey, we were bad. Now we're really, really good. I think it's possible to do that, though. I don't know if you need, like, a sustainable pipeline
of
talent.
Like, sustainability, I don't know how much that's going to be a thing in college football now. I mean, outside of the coach, right, because of the transfer portal, kids can just go ahead and leave now every year if they want to.
I mean, if I'm a great wide receiver and I know across the state there's a good quarterback and a good offensive line, I'm gone. You know, if there's a collection of talent in one place, we could go win a championship. I don't think loyalty or recruiting is going to matter for some programs. There's multiple ways to skin this cat.
Yeah, Tom Luginbill, who works at ESPN, he came out and said, "Hey, listen, this is a very talent poor roster, and they started off 3-1, and Tom took a lot of heat, but they don't have the depth.
You know,
that's something that they really, really have struggled with, and I think that people are looking at it. Yeah, it's nice to go play for Deion Sanders and Warren Sapp and all these other." Phil Loadholt and all this. But ultimately, though, you know, they've got to get players there. They just look so bad at the end.
They did, yeah.
And they just looked like they were not well prepared. They didn't look like they had talent. I just wonder if the depth once again is going to be the downfall of this team or lack of.
Yeah, I think the depth again. That's a great question.
I think the offensive
line will be better. He attacked that hard. He got one of the top offensive tackles in the nation, and then he went ahead and made transfer portal offensive line priority number one.
Yeah,
and it can still be very tough to win this conference.
No, it can be very tough, and his son is an outstanding quarterback. They've got skill guys.
Really good, and Travis Hunter's one of the best players, if not the best, in the country.
But, you know, like I say, I think this is going to be a very, very difficult evaluation for scouts in having to deal with Shador and trying to get a really good gauge of him as a player.
Well, we'll see. I definitely think he's identified the biggest problem from last year. And if you have a couple of skilled players, a decent offensive line, and a good quarterback, that would be enough, I think, to carry you to winning the conference if you could have all those things.
Yeah.
Okay. USA soccer coach Greg Berhalter is out. The news breaking just an hour and a half ago. Could Jurgen Klopp step in as the new U.S. men's national team manager is the most exciting idea for USA soccer fans. The former Liverpool and Bayern Munich manager with an incredible reputation. Players love him. Retired at the age of 57, essentially, or stepped away. So he's been sitting out. And if possible, I think that would be the guy to take this team to the next level.
I would pay $250 more a year in taxes if I knew that it was going towards paying for him as a coach.
You and me both, man.
I want to see U.S. men's soccer play on the same stage like we've seen with the women's program for all those years and compete for championships and World Cups and not be a, you know, not be a thing where, oh, we occasionally beat Mexico, but everybody else just hands it to us. Yes, count me in. Whatever I have to donate to get men's U.S. soccer to be one of the top programs. And I don't know. They're ranked 11th in the FIFA in the rankings.
Play like that.
That seems like such a hollow ranking right now.
Yeah, they haven't beaten anybody in the top 15 in years.
No. Hell no.
No, there was no signature wins for him. And you're 2 years away from hosting the World Cup. Like, this is a major, major hire.
682 says Zinedine Zidane's also available.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, England beat Netherlands 2-1 with another late goal. They'll face Spain in the Euro final on Sunday.
Yeah.
Argentina took a shot at Drake after Drake lost $300,000 on a bet that his country would beat Argentina in the Copa America semifinal. They posted on social media. They're not like us.
Is $300,000 really a bet for Drake? That's kind of
weekend.
Well, that's kind of like that's like jet fuel for him.
Yeah, it's like a $20 bet for a lot of us.
See, that's what I'm saying. If you know, if he'd have bet like a couple of million on Canada to win this thing, it's kind of like you said, yeah, I'm going to throw some money on Canada here that I'm from here, but it just seems like kind of a little bit of a play with bet.
Yeah. I think he lost a mil on the Mavs. He lost a mil on the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
But that's that's nothing. You have to bet at least a decent amount to get your blood going a little bit.
Yeah, $300,000 for your home country seems kind of like you're just throwing a $50 parlay when you're worth that.
I think you're doing that for the culture. He would have won $2.8 million. Yeah. So it was one of those big risk reward type of bets, but it wasn't any way. Canada was beating Argentina last night.
Yeah.
Time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Didn't he sound like a sponsorship deal with one of these betting apps or something like that, right? One of these gambling companies?
Right?
So I don't even know if that's his money sometimes, bro.
Oh,
I see.
That's
I don't even know.
That's the way to do it right there.
It is the way to do it, though.
He listens to Wolchuk and Chia following the BetQL stuff.
He's a BetQL guy?
On Sundays, yeah.
All right, well, it's a Butt Naked Wednesday. Let's get into it right to the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
La, la, la.
Everybody get high.
That boy Chris Berman was getting loaded.
I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four... Ooh. Is at 6 o'clock, knowing what this would be. You know what a do is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it. Just enough to give it that pop. 222s, do's.
Yeah.
I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here.
Let's go.
So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. Do's. You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year.
Wow!
You go to the Canadian CVS. It's funny. You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 223s? Yes, here they are.
223s?
I'll take four of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh? You never take do's? Look at that. Just a little drop.
Yeah.
Little 8% Cody never hurt anybody.
Talk to him.
I know exactly what this night is.
is butt naked Wednesday.
Wow. Exactly what
the night. Boy, Chris Berman was getting loaded, dog.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Time me over till I get home.
Did. A little 8% codeine ain't never hurt anybody. That's hilarious, man. That's how it be, though, when you go to Mexico and go to the Farmacia.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I can just give you the money. That's it.
A little bit of that.
You don't see the ID or anything? Okay, all right, well, I'll be back.
Yeah, the guy explained to me, he was like, yeah, you know, in America, you have health insurance, and, you know, you got to do all that stuff with the doctor. We just go straight to the source here.
That's what
do you
about.
Need?
Yeah, talking about.
All right. Got a little back pain now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Say something.
I think I throw my back.
It's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in L.A. Live. Did y'all see that Moose Knuckle Monday was trending on Monday?
Yeah. What was that for?
That was Glorilla. She started that Moose Knuckle Monday.
Wow.
Erykah Badu was right. She called Butt Naked Wednesday. She said, pretty soon, these girls going to have to start selling themselves all the way out there just to get a record sale. And I'll be damned. Yeah. Glorilla popped up with Moose Knuckle Monday. Whew. Look at Erykah Badu. I'm telling you, boy.
Yeah, I didn't want to click on it for fear of what I might see.
Yeah, I saved a few. We're living in some strange days. Strange days right here. Philadelphia police are looking for a man after he relieved himself on a woman's leg at the Dollar Tree.
Oh, I saw that video. And
baby
not
batter.
Relieve like number one.
No.
Oh.
Baby batter, bro.
Like, yeah, satisfying himself.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I can't, how'd you, that's amazing. We were in here talking to the Hemp Cup about, like, how do you prepare for something like that?
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. Like, you got to be. Anyway, man, here's a little clip of it. The girl, she chased him out the Dollar Tree, and she recorded and everything, and, boy, she was having a traumatic experience.
He f***ing on my f***ing leg. You're going to hell, bitch. Oh, my God. He f***ing on my leg.
Oh, no.
He f***ing on my leg.
It's not funny, but woman, my man asked what happened, and she couldn't find like a scientific way to say it or something. Bro. Yeah. She had to say it that way, dog.
Yeah, yeah, she couldn't make it on the radio.
He did it on my leg.
That poor woman.
It's awful. She got to find another way to say that, babe. But that's sad. And the streets are trying to find him. The police are looking for him and everything. Meek Mill put out like $2,000 saying, find him, beat him up, you know, that type of stuff.
Dude.
Yeah, so they're looking for him. Poor girl. Whew, sticky situation.
He just did that and ran off?
She pointed the camera down to the leg and everything.
Oh, yeah. The one I saw had it like pixelated out so you couldn't see how graphic it was. I'll be going right to the baby wipe aisle.
That's what I'm saying. She pointed at it like, yep, that's what it is. Sure is. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their No Bill Guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Hold on, bro.
He did it on my leg. He did it on my leg.
That is so sad, bro. What happened? Find another way to say it.
Hey.
Like, oops, my bad. I even asked.
Who does that and then just runs off? God, like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, he definitely knew he messed up, didn't he? With that pace he was holding? He was flying out of there.
Yeah, he was flying out of there, bro.
Did he think he was going to get away with that?
He had the gray sweatpants on, too. No underwear holding them joints up.
Going to a Dollar Tree. Man, you got to have your wits about you.
On my leg. Okay, G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fed at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up. That's Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. It keeps playing over and over in my head. Him asking, so what happened? God, man. Jim Rome.
Oh.
Jim Rome had a banger of a sports minute earlier today. I tell you what.
Got to keep it going.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Not as if I haven't asked this question before, but here we go again. Yo, Dallas, how you living? Seriously. Yite?
Yite?
Because if you're a Cowboy fan and your answer is, Rome, I'm terrible. Oh, I totally get it. The Cowboys simply cannot stop going full Cowboys this offseason. This might be the most Cowboys the Cowboys have ever been in the offseason. I'm Jim Rome.
Bars. Yeah. Just bars.
I'm Jim Rome.
$20 million a year. Thank you.
$20 million a year. Thank you.
Oh, man. We are some strange times, bro.
Yeah.
Man, by the way,
that's wild.
Speaking of strange times, you know, I must be too old school for this. Moose knuckle for me was always the male anatomy.
Yeah.
Hug too tight.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man.
The camel was the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. When did that change?
I don't know.
When Glo showed how strong she was down there, they said, well, that's a little above average.
Strong. She's crushing watermelons.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to the watermelon woman crushing the watermelons with her thighs.
Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah, she had dudes lining up wanting to get squeezed by her legs like plants. It was crazy.
It's like a new fetish.
Brazil is wild. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. It's a Butt Naked Wednesday. Lucia, stop it, bro. Yeah, I'm trying to. That's effed up and not funny. No, it's not funny. But her not finding a better word is hilarious to me. Name an athlete or celebrity that you once were a fan of, but now you just can't stand them. I'm talking about someone you used to ride hard for. Pause. Used to ride hard for them. Now you just can't stand this person. You end up not liking them. I asked this to the Tolos that follow me on Facebook. And I got answers like... LeBron.
Yeah.
It was the decision and him acting like he's bigger than the game.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people have been turning on LeBron over his career. I think I went the opposite way with LeBron. I support him. I think once you get super old, I cheer for you to beat the young guys still.
Okay.
And so that's the phase I'm in with my LeBron fanmanship. I would say, you know, now maybe I'm petty about this, and Wolchuk and I have gone round and round, but, you know, I still don't forgive Nelly Cruz.
Yeah.
And I love that ALCS run that he was on. He hit like 12 bombs that postseason.
But you're not alone. A lot, I mean, it's pretty divided. Like, a lot of Ranger fans see it the same way you do. I've kind of moved on from that, but I get it.
Oh, man. You don't like him now because of that? He's like, oh, I can't even stand looking at you, man.
I don't want to see him.
Damn.
Okay, now, his personality, he might be great. He might be great. So I'm not going to say I don't like you as a person, but sports fan?
Yeah.
In a sports way, I don't like him.
I hear you, brother. Let's see. What's another one right here? Name an athlete or celebrity that you once were a fan of, but now you can't stand. Somebody said Cole Beasley.
Ooh.
Because he seems to only criticize black players. Oh. I've never noticed that, but now I'm going to keep my eye on it and see if that's true, sir. Mm. He does criticize a lot. He's nice to talk.
Doesn't have much couth about him.
No.
Can't stand that.
Pete Rose, met him once, and he was a total tool.
Yeah, he's mean. He's really weird and trashy.
Emmitt Smith popped up a lot on this list. People run into Emmitt Smith in town, and they are just not happy after running into...
People tell me that all the time when they find out my Emmitt love. They're like, well, have you met him?
He doesn't want to take pictures, you know?
Doesn't want to sign anything.
Yeah, so that might be like... the trigger for him.
Yeah.
I've seen him be very gracious and friendly with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my aunt used to go to Emmitt Smith's parties back in the day in the early 90s. Mm. She got a whole lot of cards.
Nice. Yeah.
For me signed up.
Oh, there
But she also ran track at Texas Tech, so I can understand why she was probably at the party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shout out to my auntie. Yeah. What's up, Tanya? Let's see.
Tanya sounds fast.
She's very fast. And she can fish. Oh, my God.
Can she fish?
Yeah, she's country, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you went on an actor, Mel Gibson was that guy for me.
Yeah.
You know, I like was a fan of his early work, and then the more you get to know him, you're like, this guy, I could do without him.
Kurt Schilling that voice? In there.
Yeah. Is Kurt Schilling, is that what you said?
Yeah. Very similar.
Got weird.
Yeah.
You ever heard of Mel Gibson's voicemail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
you're a pain in my ass.
Fired up, bro. Yeah. A pack of them. I hope you run into a pack of them, he said.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. He made a lot of good war movies.
Yeah, yes. I was kind of like, I like his fantastic work, and then all director, of a sudden I was like, man, what's up with this dude?
But big time dude.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Hulk Hogan.
That guy was a legend
Hulk
to me.
Hogan?
Yeah, he was a legend, bro. Eat your vitamins. When he said he only wanted his daughter to be with an 8-foot-tall black guy, that was a hell of a rant, too. I can't believe he bounced back from that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was the first sign.
He bounced back, bro. Council culture my ass.
Romania.
Let's see. Kevin Spacey. Yeah, we all know why.
Ooh.
That one's bad.
Yeah.
Kevin's making the tour now, telling everybody how broke he is and stuff like that.
I see
that.
Yeah, I see him going around.
He's bankruptcy. He had to pay all this money and
so
stuff.
Sorry.
He got canceled.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he was at the top of his game there with the House of Cards show.
That thing, I never missed an episode of that.
Looked like he was giving us some hints.
Yeah.
L.A., you going to let Brian call your aunt fast? Hilarious. Hilarious. What's his name? Kramer from Seinfeld.
That's Michael Richards.
Michael Richards or something like that?
Yeah, Michael Richards, yeah.
These crowd work videos are real popular on Instagram. He had the first crowd work video. I'll argue with you on that one. He has the very first crowd work video. It didn't go good for him, but it was crowd work. Dr. Disrespect, I don't know who that is, but he's on the list.
Oh, yeah.
A YouTube gamer. Got thrown off Twitch like 4 years ago. It just came out like last weekend. It was for messaging underage girls.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you.
He's a big 49ers fan.
That'll get you. Will Smith, the smack. I guess the smack was so awful to you. Stephen A. Smith. Iceman King Parsons. Saw him at the state fair when I was 7. I asked for an autograph. He told me to F off.
Is he the wrestler?
Yeah.
What about Jada Pinkett?
Yeah, she's on the list.
Yeah, if we're going to bring up Will.
She's on the list. Where's it at? Oh, Jada Pinkett Smith. She went from crush to hush.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about a succubus right there.
Yeah.
John Smoltz. That's funny. He was a hater. Rangers hating.
We got a lot of Favres.
Favre? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on the list. Andrew Tate, he became an alt-right trash troller.
Oh, yeah.
Des Bryant kind of lost me this week, supporting Ryan Garcia. Mm-hmm. Timberlake, after watching the Janet Jackson doc. Where am I at on this time? Drake, when he did blackface. Oprah let Tom Cruise dance on her couch. She tore her drawers with me after that day. I never heard that term. She tore her drawers with me. I'm done. Let's see what else we got right here. R. Kelly. Clay Walker, country singer, heard a recording of him belittling his bus driver.
Ooh.
Awful.
Clay Travis.
Oh, God. Oh, I definitely got him blocked. Let's see what else. I do have a whole lot more, but I want you to hear this right here. This is from the Crash Dummies podcast. They asked basically the same question. What's a sports celebrity that you have beef with is what they asked. And listen to this caller on their show.
What's a celebrity you have beef with and why?
I hate Jason Tatum so much, bro. Like, I get angry. I'm sweating now, right now. Girl,
you talking about champion Jason Tatum?
Yeah, what's up, bro? You good? Wait, why you had to specify? I watch sports. I know what happened.
Why do you hate Jason Tatum?
Bro, I hate Jason Tatum, one, because, like I said, I'm from Philly, so I'm a Sixers fan. Not only is he always beating my team, he won the chip, and my celebrity crush since I was like 16 was LMA. That been LMA for like 8 years. I'm the only nigga who knew it, though. Like, it's crazy. Now, he got her pregnant, and I feel like everybody just finding out they was in a relationship. Whole time, I was in Reddit back in like 2019 trying to find out who she dated, because for whatever reason, I thought I had a chance. I'm looking at her story like, okay, she in St. Bart's this date. I'm looking at his shit. Oh, wait. He on the beach. I don't know what beach this is, but why does shit match? I see a little light-skinned elbow and maybe a story or something from her shit. I'm like, that elbow a little tatted. I'm zooming in on his shit, bro. I'm telling you, I'm really...
That's crazy.
You mean? And he a handsome... I automatically hate on all handsome... I'm going to give it a name. Like, you feel me? Like...
That guy's cracking himself up.
A little bit. But I don't... That's objectively handsome. Like, wow.
That's objectively handsome.
Oh, shout out to that guy, man.
Automatically hate on handsome dudes.
What's up, man? You good?
Yeah, what's up, man? You good? What kind of question is that, bro? All right, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That is my time.
There he goes.
I'll see y'all tomorrow.
That's outstanding.
LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Then we get a proper round tripper, don't we? Brought to you by Uber Eats.
Yes.
Some baseball coming up, old Chuck. What's in store?
Let's do it. Jose Bautista reminisces over the Rugie Punch. We got midseason grades. And let's give you a DeGrom and Adolis update. That's next in the nation.